Happy Easter. So good to see you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hey, grab your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to flip over to Philippians chapter 2. We were in this passage last week for Palm Sunday. Don't worry, if you weren't here, you're still okay. We're going to go back to it this morning. If you don't have a Bible, grab one off the chairs around you. We do like to have old school technology in your hands, right? We try to get away from the phones for a short hour while we're here. We're going over to page 980 in our Bibles. While you're flipping over there, let's talk about the obvious, right? There's a big pink present. At the beginning of last service, I had a little kid walk up, and they were like, "Pastor Steve, did you think it was Christmas?" No, I did not. Some were like, "Hey, are we celebrating a birthday? Like, maybe it's Micah's birthday, right? Or maybe we're celebrating Caitlin, or celebrating Sarah or Meg." No, they should all be celebrated, but that's not what we're doing this morning, all we're celebrating. We are here to celebrate Resurrection Day, and the present is here because it is Resurrection Day. Today, I want to talk to you about the gift of Easter. Let me ask you something. What do you do when you walk into a room and there's a present? Right? If you were to come home and this was sitting in your living room, you're not the one that wrapped it, right? You might be a little curious. Right? What I know you're not going to do is walk by and completely ignore it. I know that. You're going to be like, "Where's it from? Who wrapped it? Is it mine? Can I touch it? Can I shake it? Can I open it?" Right? Because the point of a present is to be opened, right? Anybody ever been told when you had a present and you were just a little too curious, "Don't touch that"? Anybody told? "Don't touch that." Am I the only one? Come on, y'all. Get your hand up. Don't touch that. Yeah, because what do you want to do? You want to touch it. You want to shake it. You want to feel how heavy it is. You want to get an idea of what's inside. And when they tell you not to touch it, man, that's the worst, isn't it? It's the worst. An unopened present isn't a joy. It's a taunt. It's a tease. It's an invitation to a party. And then they're like, "You can't come yet." You know what I'm saying? An unopened present just sits there, calling your name. So you try to ignore it, but you can't, because you know something good is inside. And the longer it sits there, the more you want it. Y'all, that's what Easter is like. For a moment, it looked like there was nothing there, that it was just a sealed tomb, quiet, closed, final. But inside, God was doing something. And then came the moment when everything changed, when it was time to open it. All right, here's our big idea for this morning. Okay, our big idea for this morning. The true gift of Easter isn't the empty tomb. It's God's full house. Now, that's where we're kind of going this morning. So let's take a look at our passage, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's hold up our Bibles. Get them up. There we go. "Lord, you are speaking. We are listening." All right, let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count one another as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, last week when we came to this passage, we saw that Jesus descended. His path was a path of descent from glory to ashes, right? He started where we're all trying to get, and he voluntarily came down to us. He didn't grasp his power, his glory, his privilege, but instead he emptied himself to descend. He came down from God to man, from man to servant, from servant to death, even death on a cross. The cross. The cross was designed by men, one of the most diabolical designs humans ever made, and it was designed to be the most humiliating and dehumanizing form of death imaginable. Someone who was hung on the cross was displayed in their ultimate weakness, and it was a warning to anyone watching. That ugly wooden cross, they would put it in places of high visibility, on top of a hill or at the gate of the city, because it was a declaration. We have power, so you better stand with us or you will suffer. You better serve us or we will destroy you. When Jesus was hung on that cross, God had a very different plan in mind. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us that God put Jesus on public display. That's how it's phrased, to be a propitiation, to be a satisfaction. He put him on public display, and he's talking about that display on the cross, right? The Romans put him up there to demonstrate that he was powerless, that he was weak, that he could be humiliated and dehumanized, right? But God had a very different plan. What looked like the ugly power of men was actually the public display of God's love. God is saying, look closely, don't look away. This isn't meant to fill you with fear. It's meant to invite you home. On the cross, it's not man's abusive power that's on display. It is God's redemptive love. Because on the cross, your greatest problem is solved. Your greatest debt is paid. Your greatest shame is removed. And your greatest gift is given. Jesus died on that cross to die the death we deserve to die. He took our debt of death because the wages of sin is death. So he who knew no sin became sin for us, and he died. And his lifeless body was taken down from the cross, and it was laid in the grave. And Silent Saturday, that whole day, his body lay lifeless in the grave. But then Easter morning, the day of resurrection, God raised him. Not symbolically, not metaphorically, bodily. His body was laid in the ashes of death, and it rose in the glory of resurrection life. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. He descended in love. And God worked through the descent of love to demonstrate the abundant glory of love, the immeasurable power of love, and the incredible invitation of love. The cross was never a detour. It was a doorway into the warmth of God's house, where we are invited to follow as members of his family, as those who receive this gift and believe in this Savior. Jesus walked through this door first so that we could follow. He took our place condemned so that we could take his place as children. See, the resurrection turned the tomb into a present. So let's go back to this, right? This. It's finally time. What do you do with a present? Just curious. What do you do? You open it. That's the whole point of a present, right? And when you open it, how do you open it? Carefully, politely, decorously. No!
You open it. You rip it. You tear it apart. You are so excited
that you open it, right? And, oh, all right, there's more. You keep opening, and you keep opening. You keep opening. What do you do with wrapping paper? Anybody keep it? Like, it's a treasure, right? What do you do with the box? Do you frame it? No, you throw it away. Why? Because what matters is the gift. And what is the gift of Easter? The gift of Easter is you being invited to join the family of God and be part of his full house. All right, raise your hand when you can see yourself in the mirror. Come on, come on. All of y'all, come on. All right. Yeah, Rick, come on. Come on. Go up, up, come on. Raise your hand when you, up there, huh? Yeah? All right, I don't want to fill anybody with existential dread. If you cannot see yourself in the mirror, you are still invited to the family of God. That was an actual conversation from the first service. Mommy, I didn't see myself in the mirror. It's okay. The gift of the resurrection. The gift of the resurrection. Look, the gift of the resurrection is that you're welcomed home to the family of God. Nobody frames the box. Nobody treasures the wrapping paper because what matters is what's inside. It's the gift. You ever notice how we don't have a lot of empty tombs decorating places, right? You come into churches and you have crosses, right? You've got crosses. People wear crosses around their necks and they wear crosses. Not a lot of empty tombs, right? You know why? Because the tomb was just the wrapping. It held the gift. But just for a moment, when Jesus rose, the wrapping was left behind because the gift had been revealed. And the gift is that you get to be brought home to the family of God. That Jesus opens the door. That he pays the price of your admission. That he removes your guilt and your shame. He pays your debt and he solves your problem. And all he says is, be loved. Be loved. And in being loved, be invited to love. To love God in return and to learn love others as you love yourself. That's the gift of the resurrection. It's the gift that you have been invited home to God, not just forgiven, but welcome, not just set free, but made family. See, he didn't just get you out of something bad. He invited you into something incredibly good, into love, into belonging, into God's home. When Jesus rose from the dead, he blazed a trail. But he did it that we might follow. The cross was designed as a symbol of oppression, as a weapon of death. It was meant to be a display that destroyed those that stood against it and intimidated those who were tempted to. But God turned it into a symbol of love. He turned it into the pathway of life. What was ugly became beautiful. What was meant for fear became the ultimate symbol of hope. What used to be ashes became glory. In a moment, we're all going to come forward and we're going to share communion. And if you're not a follower of Christ, I'm going to talk to you in just a moment. Don't worry, we're not going to make this weird for you. But as you do come forward for communion, even if you don't take communion this morning, and that's fine, we're going to ask you to take that flower that we gave you. and we're going to ask you to place it on the cross. There's wire all around it. It's easy to do. But this cross that was once a symbol of death has now become a display of beauty and life because of Jesus. And I want you to catch what this is, man. This is more than just a cute little photo op, right? More than just a decoration. This is a response to God's incredible gift. This is our heart responding to the grace of God, the love of God, celebrating the fact that when we come to Christ, we don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to earn our way into his presence. We don't have to climb our way up to heaven. He descended down to us. The only thing we have to bring is our need. And when we bring our need, he gives us his glory. When we're humble enough to open our hearts in the vulnerability of our brokenness and our guilt and our shame, he pours in grace and love. This is a response to God's good gift to us. Something we don't earn. It's something we receive. And it's a celebration that we get to come home. That we get to come home. To be part of God's family. So as you come this morning, come with gratitude. Come with wonder. Come with joy. Because the gift of Easter isn't just an empty tomb. It's God's full house. And you are invited home. You are invited. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let me close with some word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the goodness that you have demonstrated to us in your son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you were so determined in love, so driven by your desire to redeem and restore, to bless, not to condemn, not to fix, not to tear it down, but to redeem it and restore it, to redeem and restore us. The Lord, you became man, a servant of men, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that in the resurrection, we see the vindication of that love. We see the victory of that love. We see the inauguration of the kingdom of love. Lord, we thank you this morning for the empty tomb. And more importantly, we thank you for the Savior who came out of it and the work that he did to fill the house of God with those that are redeemed and restored. We thank you in the mighty name of our risen Savior, Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.